Welcome to the Canna Cook Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Well, hello to our podcast listeners. We're so thankful that you've carved out a few minutes to hang out with us today. I'm here in the studio with my friend and my co-host, Joe White. Joe, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Beth Ann. I am just giddy today as we record this show. We have got a really special guest with us today, Beth Ann. The sparkliest person I know on planet Earth is with us in the studio today. Her name is Rachel Wilkins, and if you've ever tried to see what it looks like to let your light so shine, get to know Rachel. She does it better than anybody. Rachel is an actress and a singer and a dancer, and she mostly gives light to Branson, Missouri, because this magnificent Sight and Sound Theater that is really alongside of Silver Dollar City, the middle of our little town, sold out show after show after show. It's a big, magnificent 2,000-seat theater that opened actually way back in 2008 with the play Noah. And people came from across the country to see this huge, it's like Broadway times five. The stage is giant. They have all kinds of animals, camels and goats and sheep and birds flying, pigeons flying throughout the theater, and these great, magnificently talented New York quality actors and actresses. The show was founded actually by a Pennsylvania man named Glenn Eshelman, and he founded the show in 1976 in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. But in 08, he came here, and after Noah, they played Daniel, the story of Daniel, and then after a season, they played the story of Jonah, then they played the story of In the Beginning, then they played the story of Behold the Lamb, which was just magnificent, and then they did a Christmas show, The Miracle of Christmas. But they bring the Bible to life in stunning ways with engaging stories and unforgettable special effects. It's a magnificent theater. Rachel plays over 20 different parts in the story of Esther that's currently playing in the show today. So she has to learn the scripts. And whoever needs someone to play that role, she steps up and plays that role for that night or
that afternoon.
Meet Rachel Wilkins, Beth Ann. Rachel,
yes.
Welcome to our little podcast.
Thank you. That was the kindest introduction ever. Well, I was just going to clarify, I don't play all 20 of those at once, obviously.
Yeah, for real.
Just, you know, whenever there's a need or whenever someone's out, I'll step up to do those.
And usually you don't really know until you show up. Is that right?
Yes,
like you get to work and you kind of find out like, okay, this is who you are today. So you've got to quickly kind of jump into that character and whatnot. And we're about to get more into the show and just the story of Esther. But before we do that, Rachel, tell us just quick little backstory just on you. Help us get to know you for the next few minutes.
Yeah. So originally from Texas, grew up with just the most amazing Jesus-loving family. Loved theater since I was just, you know, from the womb. And I went to Baylor University where I studied theater. And then after that, went to the University of Houston where I got my master's in acting. Did a short little stint after that at the Canna Cook Institute. And then worked for several years in the secular theater industry, which was awesome and hard. And just got to experience some crazy darkness and just some wild experiences, but it was an amazing mission field that honestly I really miss sometimes. And now, blessed enough to call Branson home, where I work at Sight and Sound, and then also Canna Cook.
And so she married one of our directors, and he also is a magnificent human being. He directs K-1 with Matt
Houston.
Right.
He's our teammate.
And they're quite a couple.
They are amazing. Rachel, I'd be interested to hear, you know, we just mentioned you've had to wear all these different hats in the show of Esther. And so you've gotten to maybe live out that story from different perspectives. And so as you've taken on all of these different roles, how has that story of Esther just personally impacted your walk with Jesus?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, we do 11 shows a week on average. And so I feel like I get to hear this story over and over and over every day. And some parts of it get a little, you know, you're like, gosh, this is tiring. But the parts that aren't tiring are like the heart of God that is so clearly seen. And I just, it's amazing every day to be reminded of what the Lord did through the story of Esther. And I think when I think about my personal walk with God, the thing that I take away the most is just his radical sovereignty. You know, I know we always talk about, you know, God is never mentioned explicitly in the book of Esther, but it is so clear that the whole entire time he is behind the scenes at work, like from beginning to end. And there's so many little random things in the story that happen that we say are random or coincidences, but as believers, we know that it is the hand of God and it's the workings of God that are constantly being played out. And, you know, you just can't read it and not think, oh my gosh, like how insane that the whole time they had no idea what was going on. They had no idea like where this was going to end or where this was going to lead. The Lord knew the whole time. And he just has this amazing overarching picture from beginning to end of Esther's life, of our life, of the creation of the world to the end of the world. Like, he just has it all. And to know that we rest so sovereignly in that plan is something that I think in my walk with Jesus has just led to like a deep, profound peace that I get to listen to every day, which is really cool.
So as a busy professional, busy professional, and by the way, Beth Ann, as you know, in the summertime, when she's not acting 11 shows a week, she gives her time to K-1 Women's Camp,
yes,
where you direct.
Yes.
And her job description is just to go encounter people and just to spread the sparkle around your camp.
Which is exactly what she does, Joe.
Tell me about what that's like for you at K-1 Girls Camp.
You know, usually I don't know exactly where Rachel's doing or what she's got on her docket for the day, but I'll find myself a lot walking by the dining hall and there she is sitting at a picnic table with a staff girl, just listening or opening up God's word. Or I hear from one of the girls on my team of like, oh, I had this conversation with Rachel today and it just filled me up. Or she encouraged me in this way today. I'm so thankful that she's around. And, you know, for me, Joe, it's just, I know that K-1 is better taken care of just knowing that Rachel's around because she sees people and she loves just to meet needs in so many different ways. So we're super blessed and I love having her around. She's a huge blessing to our team.
You know, the spirit of Esther, if you will, the spirit of courage, of boldness, as Rachel said, the spirit of being secure and having the peace of Christ. Rachel is like a little hummingbird that just goes around and pollinates flower after flower after flower after flower wherever she goes. And she just knows when a flower needs pollinating, whether it's a 7-year-old camper or a 19-year-old staff member, what flower needs pollinating that day.
That's
I
right.
love that. So, Rachel, I suppose that most everyone who's listening today has either read the book of Esther or maybe read it several times or maybe heard about it. But there are some deep truths in that story that hit all of us squarely between the eyes, and one that I think that everyone could grow from today is the way Esther and her father Mordecai saw a need and stepped up courageously to meet that need. Will you talk to us for just a minute about how a believer can trust God today like Esther did with some kind of a problem as you're listening that maybe has been plaguing your worry tank or filling your anxiety tank or your fear tank, but how Esther stepped up and saw that need and by faith met that need with her Jewish people?
Yeah. You know, I think, so let me go to just in Esther 4, Mordecai actually says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But that's where we hear the famous scripture, but perhaps you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And when I think of like stepping up to the plate and taking initiative, like the amazing thing about God is that God is passionate about rescuing his people. And so he will find a way to do that. And whether or not Esther and Mordecai stepped up, like he doesn't need us, like he is capable of equipping anybody to accomplish his purposes. But like Mordecai says, if you remain silent, relief and deliverance will come from somewhere else. But like how cool that God is giving us the chance to say, but hey, maybe, just maybe, I'm letting you have the opportunity to step up and be a part of what I'm doing on earth. And so I think when it comes to initiative, like, yeah, like, you know, be bold. They were incredibly courageous. I mean, what they were doing was quite literally risking their life to save their people. And they didn't know how this was going to turn out. But what they did know was that they served a mighty, trustworthy God who, whether or not, you know, they lost their lives, like God would be glorified. And I think when we think about trust and stepping up and meeting a need and being courageous, yeah, I just think having a view of, like I said earlier, his sovereignty, but also just his goodness to trust that, hey, I get to be a part of what he's doing and I get to trust that whatever the outcome is, like it is good and it is for his glory.
I just wish in this broadcast people could see Beth Ann and Rachel face to face like I do. It's just so cool to see your smile, Rachel. It just goes all the way across, you know, east to west across the planet. As a professional, and as a wife, as you're filled with this, you know, spirit of Esther or the spirit of God through Esther, how do you apply that in your life of stepping up, seeing a need and meeting a need?
I think really, so we know the verse, you know, perhaps you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. But like, I seriously was just this morning thinking about what if we actually lived like that in our everyday choices and our everyday small, like circumstantial things that we probably just go about like they don't have eternal significance. But like, what if like I am at this grocery store right now for such a time as this? And like, what if I really believed like so strongly in the sovereignty of God that I believed that every place, every time, every moment was so God ordained that I could live this incredibly expectant, open-handed life of like, I believe that I am dropping my kid off at preschool right now in this moment for such a time as this, because maybe there is a God ordained divine appointment that I get to encounter right now, or somebody at the gas station right now who could like use a word of encouragement or a gift. Like if every moment of my day was held in that kind of belief, like how insane would that be? And how kingdom driven would our lives be if like Esther, we really believed, and obviously hers is an extreme example of perhaps you're here for such a time as this to be bold and to be courageous and rescue an entire race of people. But like, what if we applied that to the little things too? I just like wonder how spirit-filled our lives would be.
I had the neatest experience a couple of days ago. I was traveling to and from Northwest Arkansas to visit with a friend. And on the way back, I was really hungry. And so, you know, for me, I start turning to ice cream. And so there was this little filling station, little gasoline station, and they had a little store there. And they have these really big chocolate and vanilla twist ice cream cones. And it's kind of like a magnet. You know, when my car goes by that store, it just starts turning in there and I can't stop it. And so my car, you know, inadvertently just turned into this ice cream store. And I asked for a small, and it was like
foot
8 inches high, maybe higher. And so I'm about to rush out. And Rachel, I agree with you 100%. There was this darling gentleman who just had been roughed up. The guy had really been roughed up. You could tell life had really beat this guy up. And so he was sitting at a table, and I was in a hurry to get back home. It'd been a long day. But, you know, the Lord said, such a time as this. And I just can't pass up an opportunity to share with somebody. And so I just sat down at the table with the gentleman. And, you know, we've all been roughed up. You know, I wear plastic legs, and I've had all these surgeries and stuff. And everybody gets beat up by something, you know, circumstances at home, you know, parental challenges and children challenges. But life had really beat this guy up. And, oh, my goodness, I had the greatest time, made a new friend. I probably learned more from him than he learned from me. But we had a chance to talk about Jesus, and it was so much fun. There's just not a human, Rachel, as you say, that we pass, that there's not an opportunity for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to believe that, right? You already said that, Rachel, is just for believers. We've got to wake up every day expectant, knowing like, I am the one, if not me, then who, to go to people maybe in need around you. And it's really easy to look at the story of Esther and say, well, yeah, God had big plans for her, but how could he use me, when in reality, you know, he wants to do that in each of our lives. And so it's believing as God's own that I am a part of God's sovereign plan, like you've already mentioned about, and he's got people for me today to love, to see, and to meet needs. And are we walking in that awareness every day? Am I checking in with the Holy Spirit saying, here I am, Lord, what do you have for me today? And am I believing that whatever you ask me to do, that you're going to accomplish it, because, you know, he is strong. He has the power to do anything. And so I would think that that is a lesson too, that you're getting to learn every day, is just that each of us have been given a sphere of influence, and we've got to make that choice. Are we going to walk in obedience and do whatever it is that God's put before us?
Yes. And I think something I just thought about, and this, in all vulnerability, something that I struggle with is coming back then to like contentment in our season. You know, you think about Esther, and she, we don't really know exactly how old she was, I don't think, when she was chosen to go to the king's palace, but for years of her life, she was probably like, why the heck am I in exile? Like, why am I here? Like, why did we not return to Jerusalem? Like, what could possibly be the reason that I'm in this season, Lord? Or even once she was in the palace, they waited a year before they ever got to see the king, a year of beautification and like all of these processes. Like, you just have to wonder, she probably just thought like, what am I doing? Like, what is my purpose here? And I know, just to be honest, like I struggle a lot with like contentment in my season of, I'll have like a dream that was like, oh Lord, I really want to do this. Or man, I like look at someone else's life, or I look at someone else's Instagram, and it's hard to not compare like my season versus their season. And I think it comes down to the same thing of trusting, hey, I'm in this season. I'm in this pasture, not someone else's green pasture, because God has faithfully ordained me to be here. And so resting in that is, yeah, I would just add that too.
I love that, Beth Ann. I like the word initiative. You know, I teach leadership, and every leader, whether you're a mom and you've got your children, or you're a mom and you've got your professional life, God calls everybody to lead like Jesus. And, you know, for guys in our father role and our husband role and our professional role, you know, we're not called to be followers of people. We're called to be followers of Christ, but called to be leaders of people wherever we are. And so I believe that Jesus, of course, he lives in our heart as a believer. And so we have the Spirit of Christ in us, acting and living through us. And so this man who had such great ability to see a need and meet a need. Dawn Funderburk, one of our director's wives, she talks about seeing a need as a mom and meeting a need, seeing a need and meeting a need. And you see Jesus in John chapter 8, the adulteress needed love, she needed acceptance, she needed confrontation, and she needed friendship. And, you know, the woman at the well, you know, she also needed confrontation, but she needed attention and love and acceptance. And everywhere Jesus went, the leper needed a touch. The blind man needed a second touch. But that same spirit is in us. And so as a man who's listening perhaps today, you know, we walk into the house after work and we see our bride and she needs our attention. She needs our listening skills. She needs our servant heart. Dishes in the sink, that's my job. Dirt on the floor, that's my job. Trash in the trash can, that's my job. Or just to grab her hand at night and to pray with her, that's my job. Or to open the Bible at night and to read a psalm to her, that's my job. And of course, with children, when I step into my family, that's my job. To be with my kids, to tuck them in bed, to memorize scripture with them. That's what Esther teaches me, Beth Ann. How do you see that in your life?
Yeah, man. I think, just like you said, Rachel, it's the lesson, I think, in Esther is clear. To take initiative, to have courage, to trust God, to know in His sovereignty that He does have you for such a time as this, you know, in whatever place you are serving. But the hard part for us as believers is then taking action, I think, is getting beyond the roadblocks that we see, getting beyond the things that don't make sense, or just moving forward in courage. And we talk a lot about that in the story of Esther. There was just this undaunting courage. You know, she took steps. She went before the king. She hadn't been called, knowing like she might lose her life. Yet, she continues forward. Like, I'm sure there was fear there. I think that's a good call out in this story is, you know, even though she was obedient, I think there was probably still fear and an unknowing about how the story was going to unfold. And I think that can be an encouragement for us and for my life is I just have to keep taking steps forward as God opens doors, as His Spirit leads. And I'm not always going to know how the story is going to end. There may not always be a pretty bow around it, but that doesn't change our call to obedience and that God is still working in the midst and in every detail of our story. And so I think for me, Joe and Rachel today, I'm reminded of God's calling me to take courage and to step out. And, you know, I think a lot of us, we love to be comfortable. We love to be safe and to have that feeling of peace. And I think there are times as a believer where God calls us to walk beyond that in faith. But we've got to remember is that He's with us. And like we keep saying, like He's sovereign, He's good, He's in control. And so I think for me again today, Joe, I'm just encouraged to step out in faith, to follow His leading in courage and just trust, hey, just as you had Esther, just as you had Mordecai, just as you had the Jewish people in the palm of your hand, like you have me too. Am I willing to step out in faith and to do whatever He's called me to do?
And so, Rachel and Bethany, as we close today, Rachel, would you just speak a word to a wife who's discouraged today or to a student today who's discouraged with finals and with grades and with what to do with their life, or anyone else who's listening today who's in a world of discouragement, would you just speak a word of encouragement, please?
Yeah. Yeah. As we close, I think it's discouraging. It can be discouraging to read a story like Esther and be like, man, I don't feel that brave, or like, I don't feel that courageous, or I don't feel like God has put anything that cool or massive in my life. Like, and I want to remind us, 1 Corinthians talks about like God has chosen the weak things of the world that He might have glory. And that is the theme that we see throughout the entirety of scripture, is that God chooses broken, seemingly unequipped people like Esther, who was young and fearful and probably felt very like not prepared for the task that God had placed before her. God chooses the broken things of the world to shame the strong things so that He might receive glory. And so if you feel like unequipped, unqualified,
know that like that is the place where God uses us, and it's in our brokenness and it's in our frailty and it's in our desperate need for Jesus to intervene and to come in with his mighty, mighty hand that we get to see his power on display in our lives. And so if you're in that place, like take heart, because he has mighty things for you, and it's in our weakness that he is strong. And even if you don't feel like the strongest, most courageous, awesome teacher, evangelist in the world, he will use you and he can use you, and you get to trust and you get to be faithful.
What a great word, Bethann. How that encourages me today. Would you close us in prayer, Bethann, to one of the best shows we've ever had on this podcast?
Lord, we do just come before you, and God, we want to thank you for your sovereignty today, God, and just that even when it feels like you're not working or we can't hear you, God, you're always working. And not only are you working, but you invite us into the story. God, you choose to work through broken people like us to be a part of your sovereign plan for humanity, God. And God, like Rachel said, you use the weak. God, and we thank you for that. We pray that as you work through weak people like us, God, that your power would be on display. So God, we pray over our listeners today that wherever they're at, they might be reminded, God, that for such a time as this, God, you have given them a sphere of influence, God. You've given them people to love, people to encourage, God, tasks to do on your behalf. And God, would we be empowered by your spirit, God, and encouraged by your character to do all that you've set before us. God, we love you and we need you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.